Hello, this week's Bruin podcast is from me, Guy Foster, speaking to Paul Dannis, Bruin Dolphins Head of Macro Strategy. And we're going to be discussing the most important points about the forthcoming US election. But bear in mind, we can't guarantee sources from outside Bruin Dolphin. Tax legislation allowances can change. And remember, we'll also talk about the investment implications. Now, this means that when investing your capital is at risk, investment values can increase or decrease because of currency fluctuations, and future performance can differ from that of the past. But with that in mind, let's get on with finding out what's going to happen as we approach this pivotal moment for US and, of course, global politics. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Bruin podcast with me, Guy Foster, the head of research at Bruin Dolphin. I'm joined by our head of strategy, Paul Dannis, who is going to talk to us about the implications of the big event of 2020, of course, the forthcoming election for the President of the United States. So welcome back to the podcast, Paul.
Thanks, Guy.
Thank you. Let's start then. Now, I guess we're getting quite a clear signal from the polls, from the experts, that this election is beginning to look like it is Joe Biden's to lose. But I think everybody's very acutely aware of the fact that the polls have been wrong in the past, and particularly wrong when they've been when they've featured Donald Trump. So what could they be wrong this time, just as they were in 2016?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, the thing to point out first is that the national polls in 2016 were right. I mean, back then, they predicted that Clinton would win the popular vote, and that's what happened. What were wrong back then were the individual state polls that political experts used to bake into their election models. So understanding what's going to happen at the state level is crucial given the U.S.'s voting system, where, with the exception of two states, all of the electoral college votes for each state go to one candidate. So in 2016, these individual state polls underestimated Trump support for a couple of reasons. I mean, number one, higher educated voters are more likely to participate in polls, making less educated white voters who supported Trump underrepresented. There was a shy Trump supporter effect, with more educated Republicans slightly more reluctant to tell phone interviewers that they supported Trump. And there was a record number of undecided voters just days before the election. And these voters broke for Trump by a wide margin. So, I mean, the polling firms are telling us that they have corrected their methodologies, but I mean, to the best that they've been able to. So I think, you know, the odds of electoral models being incorrect have probably declined, but we certainly can't rule out the possibility that the state polls will have biases in them again this year.
Right. And so where do we stand now then? What is going to drive the odds or the changes in the odds as we head into the 3rd of November and this important election?
Yeah, in the betting markets and the widely followed electoral models of political experts like Nate Silver of 538, you know, Biden has widened his lead since the first election debate at the end of September. The Senate race is closer, but there the Democrats also currently have a healthy lead, and the Democrats are a lock to win the House of Representatives. So we're less than 3 weeks away now, so it would really be a miraculous comeback if Trump were able to close this wide of a gap and win. But the things that would help him would be if the COVID crisis evolves in a good way, with some positive news on a vaccine. Good economic data would also help. And if there was some unanticipated scandal exposed that turned voters against Biden, that would clearly help Trump as well. But this election is really, as you said at the outset, Biden's to lose. I mean, since 1950, in the instances when there's been a recession in the year of the election or the year prior to the election, the incumbent president didn't win.
So what one of the things that people have been speculating a lot about, and in fact the president's even kind of discussed, is the possibility of contesting the result of the election or the counting of the votes. So, I mean, what could happen there, and what are the implications?
Yeah, the risk of a contested election this year is high for a couple of reasons. One is the fact that a very high proportion of votes will be mailed in, and this increases the risk of fraud, which makes the loser more likely to contest the result. Another reason is due to Trump's nature and the claims that he's made. He's just spent months making misleading comments about mail-in voting being inherently corrupt. What is true, though, is that mail-in votes take longer to count. There's 19 states that allow ballots that arrive after Election Day to count. So we could see a scenario where, at the end of Election Day, Trump is ahead based on in-person votes and prematurely declares victory. But because Democrats are far more likely to use mail-in voting than Republicans, Biden and the Democrats pull back in the days after Election Day, after all those mail-in votes are counted. Trump could then say that their comeback was down to fraud and could contest. In a nutshell, just to keep it short, we could talk a long time about this, but if either candidate wanted to contest the result, there's a lot of uncertainty and disagreement among legal experts over what would happen. The Supreme Court could get involved like it did in the year 2000, which was the last time the election was contested, but some experts think the Supreme Court would choose not to this time, saying that the dispute is inherently political and not suitable for the court to decide. Biden or Trump could take their case to Congress, who under the Constitution has the responsibility for counting Electoral College votes. But if the election ends up being contested, we're likely to see more market volatility, volatility move higher, equity markets move lower. Back in 2000, it took more than 5 weeks to resolve that contested election, and the S&P lost as much as 9.6% from Election Day before Al Gore conceded. So that's really, I think, the only certainty around a contested election is that you would see a bit more market volatility, despite the fact that some of that is already priced in.
Yeah, that's something we actually did spend a bit more time on in last week's podcast, the various different ways in which the election could be contested. So I think we won't dwell too much on that topic now, but if you want a bit more detail on it, then last week's podcast has got quite a lot of that with Elliot Hentov of State Street Global Advisors. So let's assume that the political experts have corrected their models, that Biden maintains his lead and wins. The Democrats are also able to take back the Senate, because that seems to be what the models are suggesting. And so they control Congress. This is what people term a blue wave. So what would the implications of that be for the economy?
Well, there's a few moving parts, but a Democratic Party sweep would likely be the best outcome for the economy. So this is because Biden and the Democrats want to spend a lot more money than the Republicans do. Biden's plan calls for $6 trillion in new spending over 10 years. A big chunk of that would be in the form of long-term investment on infrastructure and climate initiatives. And there'd be more spending on social programs like healthcare, education, and housing. But there'd be more immediate fiscal stimulus to combat the COVID fallout than there would be if Congress was divided. And even though the Democrats would raise taxes, the tax hikes might not kick in immediately. And when they did, the personal tax hikes would impact the wealthy, and the wealthy save much more than other cohorts. So a tax hike that hits the wealthy will have a less detrimental impact on aggregate consumption compared to an across-the-board tax hike, given that there's much more room for high-earning households to reduce savings instead of cutting consumption. That said, the Democrats would increase the regulatory burden for business, and policies like increasing the minimum wage and providing greater labor market protections could also restrain job creation. And they'd raise corporate taxes. So these initiatives would weigh on businesses' willingness to expand and counter the boost to the economy from adopting a more pro-growth fiscal stance. But it seems like taking everything together, the boost to the economy from a much higher level of government spending should be stronger than any headwinds to the economy created as a result of of anti-business Democrat policies. So it does look like a Democrat Party sweep would be the best outcome for the economy.
So that's the economy. I mean, I think one of the things that we frequently have to talk about really on this podcast is that the economy often does one thing and the markets often do another thing. So what are the implications of what you've just talked about then for the stock market?
Okay, well, starting with the stock market, I mean, so global trade tensions would ease in the event of a Democratic Party sweep, which equity investors would like. And the good things the Democrats would do for the economy would also support corporate earnings. And given that passing more fiscal stimulus is the thing that investors are most focused on right now, we could see the equity market getting a bit of a boost from a Democratic Party sweep. But beyond the near term, this boost to equities would probably be more than offset by a few other policies. So the most important of which would be higher taxes. So Biden's plan calls for raising the statutory corporate tax rate from the current 21% up to 28%, which is still lower than where it was pre-Trump's tax cuts. It was at 35% then. So because of this, a lot of investors believe that it doesn't equate to a full reversal of the Trump corporate tax cuts, but it actually is a full reversal because of base broadening and a one-off transition tax. Trump's net corporate tax cut over 10 years only amounted to $329 billion, and Biden seeks $2 trillion in corporate tax increases. So in addition to moving up the statutory rate itself, provisions in the Trump tax package are getting phased out. Biden is seeking to implement other corporate taxes, such as a bank tax, a book income minimum tax, which is sort of a corporate version of the alternative minimum tax for individuals. So these tax hikes would have a negative impact on corporate earnings. And then there's also the Democrats' plan of raising taxes on high net worth individuals. So given that these are the people who do most of the investing in equities, that would have a negative implication on equity valuation multiples. The Democrats also want to raise capital gains taxes, which on the margin would make equity investing less attractive. Other equity market headwinds in the scenario of a Democratic sweep would include, you know, the business unfriendly regulation and possibly higher bond yields due to higher inflation.
So, sorry, the net of all that then was what, a net positive or a net negative for the equity market from a Democratic victory?
I think if a Democrat sweep, you get an initial boost because the thing that the market is looking for most right now is that fiscal boost. But after that sort of initial reaction, I think the market would focus in on the things that would be detrimental, like the tax hikes in particular.
Okay, and then you mentioned a bit about bonds. Then was there anything more to say about bonds in the event of a Democratic victory?
Yeah, I think stronger economic growth with potentially bigger deficits under a unified Democratic government would probably see more upside inflation pressure. So because of this, this is the scenario where you'd likely see bond yields up more in the other election outcomes. So higher inflation at a time when the Fed is going to keep rates very accommodative would mean lower real interest rates or inflation adjusted interest rates, which could push the dollar lower than it would be in the other election scenarios. And lower real interest rates and a weaker dollar would be better for gold as well compared to the other election scenarios.
I mean, in the context of obviously the new approach that the Federal Reserve has got to monetary policy, where they're only trying to match inflation over the course of on average rather than hit it on the head, and the fact that you've got this big sort of overhang of unemployment that's grown in the US, I mean, does that limit the extent to which bond yields are likely to move?
Absolutely. I think, yeah, in the, you know, I guess, you know, bond yields are driven by three things. It's the market's expectation of the real path of the Fed funds rate, market's expectation of inflation and then a term premium. And then I think the Fed is making it very clear that interest rates are going to remain very low for a long time. I think the thing that would push up bond yields is that rising inflation expectation component. But again, we would only expect to see mild inflation pressures emerging, at least over the near term. So on a 12-month view, we'd only expect to see moderate upside in bond yields.
So what are the other plausible election scenarios then? And what would be the implications for the economy and the markets in those different kind of outcomes?
Well, I think the two most plausible election outcomes, if you don't get a Democratic Party sweep, are either a Biden or a Trump presidency with a divided Congress, because it's looking like an absolute lock that that the Democrats hang on to the House. So both of these scenarios would likely see lower bond yields than a Democratic Party sweep and be better for the dollar, as there would be less inflation pressure. But of the two options, it seems like a Biden presidency would probably be better news for equity markets than a Trump presidency. With Biden as president, it's true that there would be more anti-business regulation and red tape, but none of the tax increases would make it through a Republican-controlled Senate. Biden would be tough on China, and there'd be continued strategic decoupling between the U.S. and China. But tariffs would less likely be Biden's weapon of choice, which equity investors would also welcome. And we'd likely see more policies like carbon taxes on China instead of tariffs. Biden would also be more likely to work with other developed world allies to counter unfair or perceived unfair Chinese practices. So this would probably go down better among equity investors than the tariff uncertainty that's been the norm under Trump. And also there's the potential for Trump to turn his sights to Europe in a second term, and that would sort of be opening up a new front on the trade war. So in a nutshell, I mean, the increased regulation would probably be the lesser of the two evils. So for this reason, if neither party controls Congress, we suspect that equity markets would react more positively to a Biden win compared to a Trump win.
Okay. I mean, that's something you alluded to earlier, that there would be less trade tensions in the event that Biden won the presidency. But I mean, it's not the case that there would be no trade tensions then. There would still be tensions between the US and China. It's just a different way of trying to resolve them.
Absolutely. I mean, it seems to be like the only thing that Democrats and Republicans really agree on is that, the U.S. needs to reset its relationship with China. So we think that the Democrats and Biden would, continue to be tough on China. We think there'd probably be just less uncertainty and less kind of a chaotic approach than we've had over the last 4 years, which would be welcomed by markets.
So just finally then, because I think we are running a bit short on time then, there's obviously we've talked about the sort of broad market implications. What are the sector implications of, let's just stick with that sort of central scenario, a really strong showing from the Democrats?
Okay, well, yeah, if we do get, I mean, that would really be the only scenario where you'd see dramatic changes if there were a Democratic Party clean sweep. I mean, there would be, positively impacted sectors. I mean, the Democrats plan to spend a lot in subsidies to make the U.S. economy more environmentally friendly. So renewable energy producers like in wind, solar, hydroelectric, and renewable equipment manufacturers stand to benefit, as do silver miners, as silver is a component of photovoltaic cells. I think the infrastructure sector would benefit, given that the Democrats plan a big boost in infrastructure spending. So this would boost the capital goods and construction material sector sectors. The REITs could do relatively well. The Democrats, to the extent that they want to raise corporate taxes, this could indirectly benefit REITs, as their special tax status could become more appreciated by investors. And given that, as I discussed earlier, we could see higher inflation under the Democrats, which could push real interest rates lower. That would benefit these the precious metals like gold and silver that tend to get boosted by lower real interest rates. But the sectors negatively impacted by a Democratic Party sweep would be healthcare, would be front and center. Biden's plan calls for repealing the law that bans Medicare from negotiating lower drug prices. So this would hurt the pricing power of pharmaceutical companies. Biden also wants to expand Medicare so there would be more people getting access to cheaper healthcare. Energy is another one. Biden is significantly less anti-fossil fuels than the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party, like people like Bernie Sanders, but you know, doesn't want to ban fracking nationally or introduce a carbon tax. But a Democratic sweep would be negative for fossil fuel energy in the sense that Biden would probably ban fracking on federal land and make oil and gas production more costly and eliminate preferential tax breaks. Financials. In the event of a Democratic sweep, banks would operate in a much more restrictive environment. For instance, you could see the Democrats telling banks to increase financing for social housing purposes and restrict financing for fossil fuels, for example. And Biden has also proposed a financial transactions tax. There'd be less spending on defense, so that sector would be negatively impacted. And then the big tech / mega cap digital names. I mean the Biden's and the Democrats' willingness to enact kind of new regulation on this sector is a bit more unclear, but it does seem like the Democrats have more interest in regulating this sector than the Republicans do. So risk for big tech probably go up in the event of a Democratic party sweep.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a very comprehensive explanation of which sectors are involved. So, look, Paul, thank you so much for taking us through that wealth of information about what's obviously a highly contentious important election that is coming up in just a few weeks now. But also thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us for this edition. Hopefully you found it useful, and hopefully you'll be joining us again for a future edition of the Bruin Podcast.